Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. King Herod heard all that Jesus and his disciples were doing, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah," and others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That was quite a scripture. I'm going to, full transparency and disclosure, I didn't really get a lot of sleep last night. I spent a lot of time this week reading the scripture and trying to prepare something and trying to be thoughtful about it. And then someone tried to kill Donald Trump yesterday. And it kind of wanted to make sure that the things that I was saying were important. And part of the issue is a lot of people don't like to do politics in church. We don't want to hear politics when we get to church. I don't come to church for politics. Just preach the gospel. Leave the politics out there. Part of the problem is that the gospel is political. Jesus was arrested and crucified by the Romans for being an insurgent. He was leading a group of people that wanted to overthrow the Romans. They were talking about bringing together and bringing about the kingdom of God. That's what got Jesus killed. Paul, when he talks in his letters and he writes, "There is no more distinction between us, no more male or female, no more Jew or Gentile, no more slave or free." These are all political deviations and things that separate us. The prophets all throughout Scripture, they spend their time talking to the kings and telling them all the ways in which they're not living up to what God would have them to be as kingdoms. They're not treating the poor properly. They're not treating the widows properly. They're not treating aliens and those who are not of that area well. And something needs to change. This is a very political religion that we follow. In this story, John the Baptist is calling out the king for doing something that he ought not be doing. And part of the reason that it's difficult, I think, is we have to be careful. Because it's very easy when we start looking at scriptures like this to put our own bias in it. Here, John is talking about a king. John is speaking to this King Herod and all the corruption that Herod has. And it's very easy for me to think about leaders or any other political person. And it's like, well, this is, I got somebody in mind. I could talk like John and talk about that person. And you might be reading and hearing the same exact scripture and think of somebody else. And so since I'm the only one up here talking, we have to be careful. I have to be careful not to put my own biases into how I'm reading and interpreting and talking about this scripture. And so I spent a lot of time this week trying to make sure that as we were speaking and thinking and praying and talking about this scripture today, that I wasn't doing that. But this is a story about John, a prophet of the Lord, John the baptizer that prepared the way for Christ's earthly mission, John calling out this leader. Jesus called out leaders. The prophets called out leaders. I think it's important for us to call out leaders. And we're starting to gear up for another campaign for president. You guys started to see the ads yet? I'm streaming, so I don't see too many of them. I feel lucky. When we were down in Florida watching TV with my parents, they were all popping up. And then we get all the other Floridian politicians, too, and everything's like, whew. I'm glad I don't have to be a part of those all the time. We're going to start hearing more and more about politics. So many of these politicians use their faith to justify the decisions that they're making. So many of our lawmakers use their faith to write laws. Our justices use their faith to interpret the laws. Our police and prosecutors use their faith in how they enforce the laws. But our scriptures are filled with faithful people calling out leaders for their hypocrisy and when they're interpreting things poorly. This happens over and over again in our scriptures, and I think it's important for us to recognize that we have a duty to call out those leaders when we see that hypocrisy, or when we see bad interpretations, or when we see the ways that they're not fulfilling what God would have them to do. But then we see what happened yesterday. I want to make sure that in the words that I'm saying, someone can't misunderstand or take it the wrong way and think that calling out someone means taking things too far. So what do? We just retell the story, talk about Herod, leave it open to our many different interpretations. What do? So I didn't get a lot of sleep. I don't know. I don't know the answer. We're about to vote on a president at the end of the year. And we got two choices. And they don't seem like the most competent choices of all. We're a pretty broad nation. And these are the two we get to choose from? It's difficult. It's important for us to call people out. Herod in this story is set up as an inept loser of a king. He's not really even the king, and yet he refers to himself as this king. He's not that powerful. He's a vassal of Rome, and yet he thinks of himself too highly. And he's gotten himself in trouble with John. He has married his brother's wife. That's not okay. Do we need to go into that one too far? Don't do that. And this isn't one of those stories where perhaps his brother had died and the Jewish laws, you're supposed to marry your brother's wife if he's passed away and care for her. No, this is not what's going on. Herodias has married Herod while her first husband is still alive. Not okay. And John sees this. John understands that this is not okay. He knows the scriptures that this is prohibited, and he calls them out. Herod, this is not lawful that you have your brother's wife. Not okay. He calls him out. Now, John was someone who was also making a big enough noise. If this was just some guy on the street, some nobody preacher that nobody was listening to, Herod doesn't care. But John the Baptist is making a splash. Remember, when Jesus is baptized by John in the river, all of Jerusalem is coming out. John is an important person that people are beginning to recognize and respect. When John says, "Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife," people are paying attention. And so Herodias has a grudge against him. She wants to kill him. Again, Herod is an inept leader. He's not very powerful. He's being manipulated by his wife all the way through this story. So much is happening. Herod fears John, respects John, fears the power that he has, that he's earned by his preaching and his going out and about. Herod is perplexed by John, likes to listen to him. There's some sort of a curiosity for Herod about this John, recognizing that this is an important person. So John is protected a little bit by Herod. Sure, he's arrested. He's got to keep his wife happy, put John in jail, and make sure that he's not killed, but make sure that he's not out and about spreading these things. But still, Herod protects John, looks out for him, until we have this birthday party. Now, this story of the daughter of Herodias, Salome is what some of the other gospels and historians name her. There's a story of this young girl coming to dance for the guests and for Herod. And there's some weird stuff going on. This is very sexually explicit. That's the vibe here. It's not okay. Again, not okay. All of these men and these leaders are pleased by this dancing. And so this king, Herod, who's not really a king, makes this big, bold proclamation. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He's so inept, he cannot foresee the problems that he's going to be having by making all of these promises, by holding on to all of these things and offering even half of his kingdom he'll give to her because he's so pleased by her dancing. He doesn't have a kingdom to give half of. He's not understanding this blank check that he's writing. He's working himself into a corner that he's not going to be able to get out of. And so the girl and the mother, again, manipulating Herod. So inept, so manipulatable. They call for John's head. And Herod has talked himself into this corner, does not know how to get out. He cannot break his oath in front of all of these leaders. He cannot be made to look low, like he's someone that can refuse to not follow his oaths. This is not what kings do, and Herod's a king. So he has John beheaded, and they bring his head out on a platter. Herod, for all that he was or wasn't, is not a good king. He's manipulatable. He cannot foresee the words getting him in trouble. So much that King Herod wants to be, he's unable to be. And John pays the price. He calls out this king for these terrible things that he's done, and he ends up in jail and at the mercy of this inept king. This also shows, it's a bit of foreshadowing for what's going to happen to Jesus. Jesus, later in the story, as you'll understand and remember, is also going to be arrested and killed by the Romans. But unlike John, Jesus will be raised from the dead. Here we have John calling out these leaders, doing what is right, and the ineptitude of those leaders putting John to death. How do we call out our leaders? I almost asked the kids if they had more stories, but it was mostly my kid, and I didn't want her to tell stories on me of when she saw me doing something I wasn't supposed to do. How do we call out those leaders? How do we put ourselves in places of vulnerability because it's the right thing to do? When we see them saying or promising or doing things that are not right, how do we call them out? Are we able to put aside our political identities to follow God, to do what Christ would have us to do? John may have actually liked Herod at one point. We don't know. How do we stand on what is right and call out those who need to be called out? How do we build communities that disagree on what is right in ways that are faithful to God? I didn't sleep last night. I don't know the answer to any of them. I tried to figure it out. There are times where we'll have to call people out. Let us allow Christ to lead us, to guide us, and do what needs to be done in appropriate ways. Amen.